You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest, when I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. And I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX.
We got so much to get to. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. And the big weekend is finally upon us. Charge, you and I will be meeting up in Vegas on Saturday. Giddy up!
I can't wait. I can't wait. So you're getting in on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm getting in tomorrow. I got a lot of stuff that has fallen into my lap, including, I don't know if I said this on the pod yet, but Roy Wood Jr., friend of the show, friend of mine from way back in the day when he used to listen to me and Scott and Sally on Years Radio, on Fox Sports Radio, when he was still, I think, in college down at UAB and just trying to figure out what he wanted to do in life. He is co-hosting the MLB Awards Banquet in Vegas Thursday night, tomorrow, or today, as you listen to this podcast. And when I saw the nugget that that's who was going to host it, him and Mookie Betts of the Dodgers, I sent him I sent him the little story on Twitter, and I'm like, bro. He replied, no, Charge. Come on. You think that that's how I roll? I just was happy for
inferred.
Him.
It was inferred.
I was just happy for him. And so therefore, I just sent him a bro, like, this is great, dude. Congrats. He hit me back within minutes, and he was like, yeah, thanks, man. How you been doing? I'm nervous as shit, but Mookie seems really cool, and we're doing this thing live on Thursday night. I didn't even know it was in Vegas at the time. And then I looked it up. Wow. I was like, oh, shit, I'm actually landing, God willing, at about 10 a.m. on Thursday. And he said, I got two ticks for you. And I'm like, giddy fucking up. So I then texted our boy Aaron Oster at Circa to try to return some favor to him because he's getting us a room. I said, you want to go to this thing? And he's like, hell yeah, I love Roy Wood. So it's almost like the football charge in my life bounced right up to waist height, like the Joe Pisarcik fumble into Herman Edwards' hands. And I'm running that touchdown. Paul Charchian joins us now from his new home in Virgin, Utah. Charch, how you doing today?
Well, we are T-minus just a couple of days for Vegas. That's super exciting. Our crew has now grown from just you and me, which it was for a month, to six people. That's awesome. I love it.
Big Mike is like, oh, wait, I'm going to be there with clients. I got to get in. Mr. X is like, I don't want to be left out. He hasn't been to Vegas since 2018, so his window sticker is clearly out of date on that. JB was just there sitting on the throne at the Four Queens, his favorite video poker perch at the very end of the bar facing Freakmont Street. He already spent a weekend there on business, lording over that stupid machine. He's going back again because he wants to be part of it. So White Darnell from Florida, now retired, part of the Wisco Mafia, is coming. JD, not JB, is coming. It's crazy. But hey, the more the merrier. Let's go, everybody. And I'm going to Utah Monday with Charge for 2 days to see the place, and you're not going to talk me out of it.
I'm not trying to talk you out of it, but...
You did say, do you want to cancel the whole Virgin part of the trip? And I said, shut
your... Well, that's
your...
because you canceled the golf. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are anymore. You're canceling golf opportunities in St. George. I don't get that.
Well, it's like, do I lug my clubs out? If I'm only to play once with you, then I don't need to play at all. I'd rather go for a hike with you and Roxy on Monday when we get up there, and then have a leisurely breakfast on Tuesday before we leave to the airport. That'd be better.
All right. Well, we will put together a fantastic non-golfing itinerary. I am excited for that. That part will be fantastic. I like that we're going to have six guys because honestly, if you had to spend three straight days with me, that's a lot of charge. I mean, that's, you know, we got to water that down some with other people.
You know,
that's
it takes
very
two
important.
Men secure in their heterosexuality, which we both are comfortable and secure in our heterodom, that we can spend three full days in close proximity and not have it get weird. Would you agree that we as men are, you were hoping it would get weird. I just caught that.
Well, just a little.
You know, we are as men pack animals, generally speaking. So the one-on-one extended male buddy togetherness, unless you're running from the law in a Trans Am without the T-tops on, after like 48 hours, it's like, okay, what are we doing here? But no, we'll get along just fine. It's going to be...
It'll be fine.
It's going to be hilarious.
Yes.
Going to be epic.
We've got some plotting to do as well, which I'm looking forward to with our extended Tesla time.
Well, then there's Tesla time because you're driving the Model Y down, and I'm gonna definitely give it a looking over because I think my next Tesla is going to be a Y. But I got to get through this lease first, so I've got another year and 4 months on this lease, which is fine.
You got to wait. Yeah, you got a ways to go.
I'm going to sit tight. I'm going to sit tight. But anyway, before we get going on what we're going to talk about, I've got to clean up a major mess in aisle three from yesterday's podcast. Yesterday on the podcast, I mentioned the anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You're familiar, yes. I trust?
Yeah. I'm very in Minnesota. It is a big, big deal. This, of course, happened in Lake Superior, which is
first mess to clean up. I said Lake Michigan. No, Lake Gitchagumi, as the Indians called it, is Lake Superior. I should have known that. That's mistake number one. Continue, Church.
This is not where you want to go down in a shipwreck. Lake Superior.
Is there any place you want to go down? Oh, that's a good place.
Yeah, here. In about 10 feet of water is where I want my ship to go down.
10 feet of crystal blue Caribbean water that's 72 degrees.
That's right. Right off of Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, right. That's where I want my ship to go down. That'd be good right there. Okay.
By the way, as a just very, very brief aside, shocking number of shipwrecks over the years have been found in like 20 feet of water. And, you know, people are searching for years for, you know, shipwrecks of gold bullion. And it turns out it's in 20 feet of water, right? They're diving down 1,000 feet in the depths of the ocean. Nope. Thing wrecked right offshore.
Really?
So that has happened. Now back to the Edmund Fitzgerald, because, Duluth is right. Duluth is the third biggest city in the state. Right on Lake Superior. It was either Edmund Fitzgerald was either coming from or to Duluth with whatever cargo it had, but horrible. It's always, always freezing cold, Lake Superior. There is no scenario, even in the hottest of summer, where you want to be in Lake Superior, let alone when it went down in early to mid November, brutally cold. I mean, there was no I'll just paddle for a while and try to find my way to land or whatever. Hope rescue comes. Nope. Yeah. It would have been an absolutely awful, awful spot to go down.
So that was mistake number one. I got to mop up. The second mistake I got to mop up is I was joking that Gordon Lightfoot was a one hit wonder and that he must have been searching for the next hit after the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That could not be more wrong if I tried, because Gordon Lightfoot has had such hit bangers like Sundown, as well as Carefree Highway, Rainy Day People, Summertime Dream. You've heard this song before, right?
No, none of those ring a bell, but maybe when you play them, I will be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, you'll know this one. Anyway, Gordon Lightfoot is considered a Canadian treasure. And he has a lot of hits, including The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was number two. Here, you've heard this.
Absolutely.
You have.
What are the odds that The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald would be a hit? I mean, think about it, Dave.
Well, I talked about it yesterday. It's 5 minutes 48 seconds, and it's no chorus. It's a depressing song. It's all lyrics. It's slow. Most people don't give a shit about it, as tragic as it was. It's implausible that it was number two in the country.
Yeah. You already talked about it, we'll go down that. But I love that you did talk about the implausibility of that turning into a hit song. I mean, nobody could have guessed that, I don't think.
All right, so then there's this. If you could read my mind.
If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could.
Phenomenal voice on Gordon Lightfoot and rakishly handsome. Let me tell you, this guy.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Look, have you seen photos of Gordon Lightfoot?
I'm going to
look him up right now. Let me tell you what. I would be willing to bet, being a 70s pop star, he raked in the pussy with a fucking ginormous scooping rake. Look at this guy. Oh. Gordon Lightfoot was slaying anything he wanted in the 70s. Now, granted, they all had big bushes, I'm sure, but that was the style back in the day. What do you mean, even with the mustache? The mustache was in style at the time, Church.
It was, man.
Okay, so that then brings us to another music-related song, even before we get to your favorite band that you're insisting we play today, yes. Which is, what is it again, Wolfpack?
Wolfpack.
Wolfpack.
It's not my favorite band. They just have a great story. I'm excited to tell you the story.
Oh, yeah, one more thing, because I won't get to it. I mentioned a guy I knew that celebrates the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald with a bunch of dudes. And I'd played golf with him. I just forgot his name. Jay Heitman. Shout out, Jay. He's a loyal listener to the podcast. He sent me a photo with the recap of his guys that went out to the woods to drink whiskey and to, you know, remember the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. He said the trip was done. The trip was the sweet annual respite from the day-to-day and was done up big. Custom belt buckles, custom mugs, shirts, steak dinners, along with the ceremony Monday night for the 50th anniversary. And for the record, it's only played one or two times a day over the weekend. And apparently we don't have to worry about it. Any interest in Gitter or Wolfie being on next year's trip? Because those boys were like, they didn't give a shit about the whole wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And they're Wisconsinites, which is too bad.
I love that there are a bunch of dudes out there that are like, you know what? We need an excuse to get together. I know.
Yes.
Let's do the annual tribute to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. We're going to go out in the woods and drink whiskey.
Exactly.
What does that have to do with the Edmund Fitzgerald? Nothing. But we're going to get together and go drink whiskey.
It is the most dudes weekend ever. And Jay's a very successful attorney. So it's not like he's a lumberjack or someone who's, a blue collar guy. It's a lot of white collar guys getting blue collar for the weekend, going out and just doing that. I love it. It's good stuff. So, okay, before we get to Wolfpack, you brought up this story, and I'm going to play the news story for you. Then we're going to react. This is maybe one of the most bone chilling tech stories I've seen in a long time. And it has scared me as a content producer, provider, and talent shitless.
Song in America is AI generated. Dave Carlin spoke to some New York City musicians to get their reactions to the rise of artificial intelligence in their industry.
If you're a fan of country music, you might like this song.
I'm gonna keep on talking and walk my walk.
Very catchy.
With enough fans to land it at the top of Billboard's country digital sales chart. Walk My Walk by Breaking Rust is AI generated. At Waylon Bar, Chloe Byers of the New York City band Darlin calls this surprising.
It sounds completely human to me.
The source, the imagery, and the songwriting of the number one song is shrouded in mystery. When AI is used for music, some in the industry find it inauthentic and worrisome.
AI is a very broad term. It's like saying computers. Like, computers are bad. That's not a very meaningful thing to say. AI in a vacuum is not morally good or bad, but the way that it is being implemented right now, it's taking artists' work and not compensating them for it.
Musician Sasha Mishkina also said this blurs a line as to what is considered okay.
Out came the sun.
Country music legend Randy Travis had a stroke, then released music using AI to fully recreate his voice.
So I think that he has a little bit of some legs to stand on there, but in terms of just like from the dust, I don't know, because it's not dust. It's art that was created before.
Which goes to show it's a new world out there with AI models and influencers, AI actors and musicians.
You can bring like holograms of, ABBA, but that's not a living, breathing person.
It is here. And the big question from the people I'm talking to about the topic is, where does it go from here? In the theater district, Dave Carlin, CBS News, New York.
Holy
coward didn't answer the question.
Fuck.
Yeah. Can I start with this?
Please. Floor is yours.
And you and I are content creators. I'd like to believe that we're going to get to a retirement age before we are completely replaced by AI, but that might not be true. This could be coming so fast, and AI might be so much better than we are that it could affect us personally. But it is easy to denigrate the idea of AI music and stand for the purity of the human musicians and the human content creators until you hear it. That song, that number one country song.
It's a banger.
It's good, Zabe. It's good. I mean, that is a objectively
good I'm going to walk my walk by Breaking Rust.
Breaking Rust. Now, somebody, here's the part that they don't talk about very much. Somebody is still working very hard on that song. It's just not a musician. It is effectively a programmer and somebody who has learned how to interface with AI music services to build these things. You know, eventually AI is going to build their own songs. And it's all going to happen on demand in the instant you want it. But for right now, where we are with AI, somebody probably put several hundred hours into composing that song with AI. It just wasn't a musician.
They were using prompts such as, I want a G chord based, 110 beats per minute, solemn ballad about whatever. And then they started entering other prompts. I want the voice to sound like this. I want this to sound like that. And then the computers, the AI agent, went about building it. So
that's right. And then you tweak it and you refine it and you perfect it and you add a bridge and then you add a chorus. And, you know, there's still a human involved if you feel like that's necessary. Eventually there won't be, but there is for right now.
See,
ain't changing my tone, ain't changing my song. I was born this way, been loud too long. You can hate my style, you can roll your eyes, but I ain't slowing down. I was born to rise, so kick them rocks. If you don't like how I talk, I'm gonna keep on talking and walk my walk.
I mean, it's a great song right there, but
good song.
But I would say this. Part of the problem is so many genres of music have become so cliched and entrenched in typical tropes, it's not hard to do this. Because I have a song for you that is not AI, but is my favorite fake country song of all time. You ever heard of Parked Down by the Lake?
No.
It's so good. It's by Dustin Christensen. Got 2.5 million views.
I'm still parked out by the lake.
Okay, so far so good.
80 miles from Santa Fe. And I'm sitting here just parked out by the lake.
Okay, yeah, we heard that already, but all right, go on.
If you're wondering where I park.
Yeah, you're by the lake.
I'm out parked by the lake.
I got that.
It's the lake that's 80 miles from Santa Fe.
I'm aware it's 80 miles from Santa Fe.
And I'm parked out by the lake.
Okay, now I'm feeling it, by the way. We're soaring right now, Charge.
It's the lake that's parked where I'm at, out by the lake. And this lake is where. 80 miles from Santa Fe, and I'm still parked out here by this lake.
80 miles from Santa Fe.
All right, so, okay, you said it's
the whole
not,
song. The whole song is
threaded a needle here.
The whole song is I'm parked out by the lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe. These are all the lyrics, over and over in different ways. Do you hear it? Every line is a park by the lake.
By the lake. 80 miles from Santa Fe.
But it's so harmonious. It's so good musically. It hits my sweet spot for country syrupy ballads.
Down by the lake. 80 miles from Santa Fe. It's the lake that's parked where I'm at. Up by the lake.
It's brilliant whoever put that together.
Isn't it?
That is a fantastic. Yeah. Idea.
Yeah. So that's not AI, idea. But that was just sort of a spoof song, which really kind of hammered home how the country music tropes and the typical chord progressions and templates of building songs had become so cliched. He could make a song based out of just, you know, I'm parked by a lake. 80 miles.
I love that.
From
now,
Santa Fe.
Where I want to go with this with you is what's coming next. Is everything is going to be generated on demand in the instant you want it. We are all going to be creating our own songs. The next Spotify will be music created from scratch with everything Spotify knows about Steve Zabin, and it will all be AI generated in that moment, in that second. and you will get a new fresh song. And if you love it, you will save it and you'll be able to hear it forever. I will be able to drop into your playlist. I'll hear all the songs that have been generated for you, and it will all happen on demand in real time. And you will be able to tweak it, change it, say the mood that you're in, and you will get all new fresh music if you want it, or hear music you've already designated as favorites over and over again.
How do you know this?
Because this is what's this. It's happening now. Happening slowly with less computer power.
Okay. Are you guessing this is it, or you?
No. This is what
read
this is what
stories.
Futurists
are saying that this is going to happen.
Yeah, and by future, I mean like 2 years from now. I don't mean our parents, our kids, rather. You know, this is imminent. And by the way, that's not just music, Zabe. This is going to be TV and movies. You are going to sit down in front of your TV, and it is going to generate a new TV show based on whatever mood you say. You know, God, I'd love to have a comedy right now, or I'd love to have a spy thriller right now. And it will generate a new, unique movie or TV show for you on demand in that moment.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do the first chance that this becomes possible? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Ready? I'm going to go to AI. I'm going to say, AI, go back and fix the last two fucking seasons of Game of Thrones that Benioff and Weiss fucked yes, up because they were so ready to leave to go do Star Wars movies and return. So when it comes to music, I can see myself, if the technology gets to this point, I can see myself saying a prompt such as, hey, AI, make another Taylor Swift album in the same mood and style as 1989, but with totally different songs. Or pick an artist. Like, pick your favorite artist and say, here's the album that hit the sweet spot for me and this band or artist. Make another album like they never evolved off of it.
Yes. Or, for example, you could say, here's three artists I love. Give me something right in the middle of these three artists.
Or blend all three.
Yeah, blend all three. You know, here's three artists I love. If they were to collaborate, what would it sound like? And 1 second later, here is your collaboration of those three artists. And it is a totally, as that kids like to use the word, bespoke. It would be a totally bespoke song, unique to you. You'll be the first one to ever hear it. And it's what's going to end up happening, I think, Zabe, is people will find out that Zabe's great at this, and you've generated all these cool songs, and they'll just start listening to your playlists and your songs, even though you had nothing to do with it. You're not a musician, but you were the one who found the sweet spot between these three bands. And it's all coming. It's all on demand.
So,
we're all going to get individualized content specific to us.
Okay. So for those who are terrified of this and its implications, do you have a soothing counterpoint of what may happen in the future? What do you cling to feel better about where things could be going in a dystopian sense?
I'll give you this. I got two angles for you. Number one, as content creators, you know, for every lost job there's ever been, you know, due to technology, we create more opportunities than we end up leaving behind. At one point,
in theory,
we absolutely do. I mean, computerization has generated way, way, way more jobs than it ever took away.
Okay.
And so I believe that will be the case. The story I love to tell on this, Zabe, for 73 years, France banned the loom, LOOM, because they wanted to protect their sewers, their textile industry, from the horrors of the technology of the loom.
Right.
Right. And, you know, obviously, you know, it sounds ridiculous now, but people that want to ban AI from movies, songs, etc., it's going to sound that absurd, as just like banning the loom in the long run. There's going to be just new and different opportunities as technology continues forward. That's my belief.
Yeah. I would say, from a musical standpoint, and by the way, the wonders of AI and technology will be on the plus side as well in ways that also are amazing. Like AI is already getting better at detecting cancer than doctors. You feed it a certain set of data and it's better. They're going to be able to 3D print organs and body parts at some point in the future. Awesome. So, you don't have to wait for a kidney donor. We can print one. Now, see if that's covered by your HMO. I doubt it. Probably plus the copay is out of, through the roof for a new kidney, 3D printed. But there's going to be wonders and positive things on this as well. I think from an artist standpoint, and certainly from a sports standpoint, the one thing I see coming is that once the zone is flooded with breaking rusts and walk my walk, there will be a retreat to humanity for those who appreciate music, art, and of course, sports. And you can't fake sports. That's the one thing that gives me solace, is that people still want to see athletic contests played with flawed human beings, bullshit referees, and idiotic coaches like Nick Sirianni who do not understand when to punt the ball. You're going to still want that because of its wild, organic ride that it is. And while Breaking Rust can have the number one song in the country, where's he going to fucking tour, this non-existent artist? How are you going to go sit front row and be all excited because you got tickets to go see Breaking Rust, who doesn't exist? Is he going to appear on Good Morning America to tout his new album coming up? He can't. He's not real.
Well, I mostly agree with that, but do you remember Coachella 10 years ago had hologram prints on stage?
I know.
People went berserk.
They got better holograms now, but guess what?
Yeah.
We know they're holograms. They're never going to be flesh and blood.
It won't be the same.
It won't
be the same, but it might not be as different as it feels right now.
I know. Well, the other thing too is like people talking about how easy it is to do fake videos. And so therefore seeing is no longer believing, especially on the internet, especially on social media, because people keep getting duped and duped and duped by better and better videos. And I say good, because what it'll do is it'll force a retreat to more trusted ground for information. Once you know that you simply can't believe a video that's been shared on social media, that's a net good overall, because it's like, okay, stop trusting this. We have trusted shit from the internet for the last 20 years, and it's been bad as a whole for society. So this retrenchment towards better quality human, actually provable sources will be a net good. Be a little rocky getting there, but we'll get there. Just my thought.
I disagree with the presumption that the internet has been an overall bad thing for humanity.
I said for information.
For information. I think it has decentralized information. It's taken power away from people that don't deserve to have the power to control your flow of information.
That is true.
Bad media.
That is true. But it is also, the internet has created a endless marketplace for confirmation bias news and stories that has hardened America into the two camps we're in now, right and left, red and blue. So if you, in your heart of hearts, believe in conservative things or liberal things, when you go to the internet, you can find tons and tons and tons of voices, content, blogs, podcasts that confirm your worldview as a conservative or a liberal. And that's bad, in my opinion.
The echo chamber is bad, but at least you have the availability of whatever information you want, and it's not being fed to you by some gigantic entity that decides
But you know who it's being fed to you by? The algorithm. By what they already know you like.
And who controls the algorithm is there is truth to that, and there's always people behind the algorithms, Abe.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Don't look now, but the holidays are gonna sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I just want to know
that
when,
is true. Now,
I just want to know when Wolfpack is going to be making a tour stop anywhere near me. Look at these cats right here.
I'm excited to tell you about Wolfpack. Now, the video that you're playing right now is them live at Madison Square Garden. The people at Madison Square Garden is going to sing the bass line of a instrumental track. The bass player is unbelievably good.
I'm digging this groove, by the way. Their set looks like someone's bedroom, and then they pan out to the crowd, and it's absolutely packed. Like, take a listen here.
Listen to the people sing with the bass player. All right.
Dude, listen, this is the kind of shit I like. This groove, I like.
Yes, it's funky.
Yeah, I like
funk. And the musicianship is through the roof on this band. Their story is amazing, and I am happy to share it with you right now.
Do you mind if I keep playing this in the background while you tell me the
story? Yeah, I wish you would. Yeah, just it's instrumental. Just keep it on in the background.
Okay.
All right, it's circa 2015. These kids are music students at the University of Michigan.
So these are Americans. It's an American band.
Yep, American band. American kids. They form this band, Wolfpack, and they come up with the idea, while they're still students, they got no money, that they can make money off Spotify by creating a blank album and encouraging people to play it while they sleep so they can get the royalties.
Holy shit.
Isn't that brilliant?
And is it soothing music? I mean, this is a little bit busy to fall asleep to.
Zabe.
Oh.
It is no music.
Is it white noise?
Blank. It is blank. It is nothing on the album. So,
and Spotify still paid them.
Yes. Yeah, so this is 2015. Spotify hadn't ironed out all their terms of service yet. And they found this loophole where they encouraged people to sleep to this blank album so they could make money. And in return, they said if people play it enough that Spotify pays them $10,000, they will tour for free.
Holy shit.
Okay. So media catches up on the story and they end up doing NPR, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, end up doing the story. And the blank album does great. And they end up making a ton of money from Spotify.
The blank album.
Yes, before Spotify.
That's like Spinal Tap's The Black Album.
Yes, before Spotify shuts them down. So eventually Spotify's like, this is bullshit, we're not paying for this.
Yeah, right,
and
exactly.
Spotify shuts them down. But at this point, the band has got an actual, they've
following.
Actually developed fans for the real music, right? So they've got some real music that they've done very little at this stage because they're super young and they're just starting out.
Look at these kids. They love Wolfpack. Have you seen them, by the way?
Not live. I just found this band about a month ago through my brother.
Wow, okay.
So they start touring doing these free shows, and people are showing up in groves because they've started to build this crazy audience. Now, it turns out they're phenomenal musicians, like amazing musicians, especially for their age back then. They are awesome, and they're blowing minds with their crazy funk rock that they're doing. And they achieve just cult status, Wolfpack does. And they start touring, and the shows are growing and growing, and they're just doing all DIY marketing. They have no publicist, they've got no manager or anything else. The band just, the lore keeps growing, and they start pulling in great artists who do one-off sessions with them, and just, you know, here's a vocalist that loves us, and they start doing songs, they get great vocalists, great musicians, and 5 years later, Wolfpack is playing Madison Square Garden and becomes the first band ever booked in the history of Madison Square Garden to book without a manager. They booked themselves.
Wow!
All the way to MSG. A lot of their songs do have vocals, as I'll mention. They have since created splinter bands because so many people want to play with Wolfpack and so many amazing artists and don't want to do different things. They've created splinter bands. One I love is called Fearless Flyers that is all instrumental. Wolfpack is a legitimate sensation, and the bass player is widely regarded as the most talented bass player on the planet right now.
Really?
His name is Joe Dark. Yep.
Wonder what the internet says about the greatest bass players of all time in rock and roll.
Yeah.
Greatest bass.
Now that will be interesting. I'm saying currently working bass players, Joe Dart widely considered to be the best out there.
Well, you know, Geddy Lee was well regarded.
He is extremely well regarded and he is awesome, but I would say that is your 70s, 80s, 90s era best bass player. He had a great 30-year run.
John Entwistle, who is with The Who, was well known as a bassist. John Paul Jones for Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is on that list. Just trying to think of names that I can see. Bill Wyman, Grateful Dead. Or no, Rolling Stones. Please, don't send an email, people. I made one fucking mistake. All right, I corrected it right away. Larry Graham from Grand Central Station. Bass player for Earth, Wind, and Fire. I should know this. I think this was Verdine White. Oh, music ran out. Sorry about that. Oh, here's another.
Okay, on the music front.
By the way, I'm definitely going to dive down into Wolfpack now. Thank you, Charge, for showing us that. Now
it's a fun story.
Right. Now I'm a drummer by trade back in high school. What? You didn't know that? Okay.
Oh, dude.
What?
In the background, put up anything Fearless Flyers. Their drummer plays with a three-piece kit, a cymbal, a bass drum, and a snare, and he crushes it. It's amazing. You're like, I can't believe what I'm seeing from a three-piece drum kit. Fearless Flyers is one of the offshoots of Wolfpack. It's got some of the Wolfpack band members in it.
Okay.
But this drummer is unique to Fearless Flyers. And their bit is they wear like flying uniforms, and their guitars are on stands.
What do you mean flying uniforms? Like commercial airline pilot and stewardess uniforms,
more like the
or
mechanics
military uniforms. Okay, so like jumpsuits, like mechanics, airplane mechanics.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay,
that's it.
Okay, so anyway, Drumeo Charge is like Drummer's World on YouTube. They've got 5 million subscribers, and they have some of the best drummers in the world. One of their bits is they'll bring in a famous drummer from band X. And they will ask them, have you ever heard this song by artist Y? And you're surprised to find out that a lot of these musicians
don't
really know a lot about other bands for whatever reason. So when they find a song that's a famous song of a band that the drummer's never heard, they play for them a drumless track in their headsets and say, so what would you do as a drummer? And then you get to hear this world-class drummer, like Taylor Hawkins before he passed, or whomever, knock out a drum line to a famous song he's never heard, and then you kind of see how close he was to what the actual drumming was. But in Drumeo, and I know you'd love this because you're a big Rush fan, they broke down the genius of Tom Sawyer and, of course, the infamous drum solo. Oh, yeah.
They found a great drummer who didn't know Tom Sawyer?
No. That's a good point. No, this one was not a mystery drum episode.
Okay.
It was just breaking down why Tom Sawyer is so good. I'm going to send you the link. You'll really love it as a song as a whole. Also, by the way, the original version of Tom Sawyer was very different, and they played the original track of what it was before they tweaked it. And you as a Rush nerd will appreciate that. But they also have the insane sheet music for the drum solo, which has just a flurry of 16 and 32nd note drum fills in it. And you're like, I could never read that. I'm just going to have to practice it to go. I'm going to play this segment that talks about the drum solo, okay?
Please.
Now, I know what you're thinking. What about the famous drum solo? Well, it's one of the greatest in history, and it deserves its own deep dive. Any of you Rush fans out there who had a chance to see the band live, you know what it's like to look around the arena and see thousands of drummers and non-drummers alike air drumming along with Neil.
It's like one of the most iconic drum moments, the da-down, da-down, like that whole thing.
Tom Sawyer may be the world's greatest air drumming song of all time.
Let's break down the solo, starting from the transition out of Alex Lifeson's guitar solo. Neil launches into big unison accents, perfectly synced with the rest of the band. You'll hear thunderous drum fills cascading down five of his toms. And from there, Neil takes it up a notch with a flurry of hand-to-foot combos with some double bass, flams, and some dynamic interplay between the cymbals and the toms. So there's two really crazy fills in this drum solo, and the first fill is right at the beginning. We have 32nd notes cascading down the toms, 6 notes on the first tom, and then we move to groups of 4 and 2 on the other toms. And the other one with the double bass in there, that one's really tricky for me because Neil played this as right, left, followed by the two bass drums. I always prefer the John Bonham approach, which is left, right.
Nerds!
Keep that in mind when you're doing that. And also, he's also moving up to the third rack tom as well. So there's a little bit of orchestration happening in there as well. One of the trickiest parts is definitely nailing those cymbal shots. Towards the very end of the phrase, Neil throws in some offbeat accents that demand precision, especially with your left hand when you're going up to that high crash cymbal.
Let's slow it down.
When it all comes together, the drum break should sound something like this.
So anyway, that guy does it pretty damn good, and YouTube charges chock full of drummers, including girls who are 10 years old, doing...
I know. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that as somebody who drummed when you see children, preteens, nailing some of the greatest, hardest drum solos of all time?
I know. You know, on the one hand, I love the passion. On the other hand, it makes me feel small. It reaffirms what many, musical people and band members and buddies of mine have used as a put down all the time. How do you get a drummer to get off your porch? Pay him the $10 for the pizza. You know, there is this, there is a denigration of drumming because they're like, well, anyone can do it. But then again, if you're a guitarist, anyone can memorize and nail certain complicated guitar solos. There's been videos of kids who've been brought up on stage, I forget what band or what guitar solo, and these kids have nailed the guitar solo in a famous song with a real band on the stage. Have you seen that before?
I have, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, you know, kids with, you know, they don't have a job, these kids. They got parents who are rich and they were bought a Fender.
Yeah, these 10-year-olds not working yet.
Well, shit.
Come on.
If I didn't have a job or a mortgage or kids to deal with myself, I'd sit at home all day and figure out the guitar solo from Billie Jean.
You'd be sitting home all day drumming, all right. Wouldn't be on a snare.
Yeah. But anyway, just the nerdiness of not just that drum riff, which is iconic, but also the way the song goes is really, really cool. Because I'm a huge Rush fan, as you are. And it's too bad that Neil Peart, it was Peart.
Yeah.
Passed away from, I believe, colon cancer not too long ago.
Well, 10 years ago. So it's 10-year anniversary, not anniversary, but 10 years since he died. And they announced their new tour. I gave a lot of thought to...
You told me you showed me the German girl that's now their new drummer, and I think I poo-pooed her. But then I did a deeper dive on some of her stuff, and I'm like, okay, she's got good chops. But there's a lot of good drummers out there with great chops.
Yeah, I'm sure they could have picked a lot of people who have memorized the Neil Peart, song list, and could have duplicated it. I don't know what they chose. They say they chose her because one of their lead roadie technicians had been working with her in Europe on her other tour and thought she was great. And that was it. So then they ended up picking her. They probably could have chose from a variety of people, but that's,
what I thought about was how, you go to a Rush concert at any point in the '70s or eighties, or actually when was Tom Sawyer written? 78?
78. I think Moving Pictures came out in 80. I believe it was 1980.
So if you're going to any Rush concert in the 80s, and they were massive, you were waiting, like they said in that video, to do some air drumming to the iconic break in Tom Sawyer. And Neil Peart, genius as he was, still had the pressure of having to nail that complicated, multifaceted several part riff on any given night. That's impressive. He had to nail it. And most of the time he did.
Almost always. When they recorded what I think is one of the great all-time great Rush songs, La Villa Strangiato, they recorded it and it was so technically demanding. They had serious doubts that they could ever play it live. You know, it took many, many hundreds of efforts to get through, get all the tracks right, and to record it ultimately for the album. Like, how, this song better not get big because we can't play it live. It's too hard. And eventually, of course it did. La Villa Strangiato became an absolute Rush classic. It is nothing short of a masterpiece,
right?
One of the greatest instrumental rock songs in the history of music. And they got stuck playing it all the time because it is a stone cold classic.
Well, yeah. And when there's difficult parts, no matter what song or what group it is, you got to fucking hit it. Because like in the Eagles documentary, at one point, Randy Meisner, who sang the high note on Ticket to the Limit, said he wasn't feeling it. He could nail it in the studio, but he would often get a little bit, sort of freaked out on stage. And Glenn Frey, who was the muscle in the band, Henley was the brains behind it. Glenn Frey got in his face behind backstage before they went on one night when he was like, I don't think we should do Take It to the Limit. He's like, look, motherfucker, see all these people out here? They came here to see the goddamn Eagles, and you better bet your ass they want to hear Take It to the Limit, and they want you to hit that high note. So fucking buckle up and go out there and hit the high note. They then later went on from Meisner because he was being a pain in the ass, and they had Timothy B. Schmidt, their bassist, hit that high note. But, that's the thing. You perform a great song.
By the way, that the bassist could hit that high note. I mean, you can ask a lot of people to hit that high note, and most can't do it. But you got a guy in your band who can do it. Now, the Eagles, I think they either imminently or just wrapped their big Sphere shows.
No.
Would you?
I don't know if they've wrapped them. I asked somebody, should I see the remnants of the Eagles? Because that's what they are. I said, should I see them at the Sphere? And I've already gotten a very strong recommendation. Now, you know, Thursday night I'm going to this MLB Awards thing. And then Friday night, I guess I could go Friday at the Sphere. The Sphere Vegas schedule. Let's see what's happening on Friday.
Now, I just talked. I talked to somebody who went last week to the Eagles.
And
he said $400 a seat in the Sphere. But they have, because they're doing a residency, and by the way, it's turned into another residency in the spring. It's so successful that they have built all kinds of great stuff specific to the Sphere. The visuals, apparently amazing. He said these 70-year-old guys still sound good. And he said, you know, look, if you love the Eagles, you should go. It's worth the $400 because you'll never see the Eagles like this.
Yeah. Well, sad to say they're not there on Thursday or Friday. Okay. It's Wizard of Oz, which is their house show now, which apparently is really, really great. I wouldn't mind taking my daughter to go see that at the Sphere. I think she'd love
That's right.
But
yes.
the big one is Zach Brown Band on December 6th. That would be a fucking show. I saw Zach Brown Band at a concert last summer at American Family Field. And he was the warm-up act for Kenny Chesney. And he was so good. I'm like, holy shit. I knew of the Zach Brown Band, had never seen him perform live. They ripped the roof off the mother. And I asked my country music guy, Dolph, on the show. I'm like, does Chesney worry about being upstage? He goes, nah, Chesney's cool like that. He just wants the best acts that are willing to play with him. He doesn't care if the warm-up act is better than he is. He wasn't better than Chesney.
There are some classic cases of the headliner being worse and getting blown off the stage by the opening act. Lots of cases. You know, we mentioned Rush. Rush opened for UFO in like 1975 and just
Who's
killed
UFO?
Him. You know, UFO is like, famously, they're like,
oh, now their careers are like a UFO. More rumor than actual in existence.
Seen this frequently.
All right. In order to not lose my license as a sports podcast, and I've loved today's episode to the moon, one sports story, A.J. Brown has told fantasy players, drop me. Because he's just not getting targets from the Eagles and Jalen Hurts.
A.J. Brown was playing Madden on Twitch last night and had a couple of very interesting comments mid-game. I mean, you know, keep in mind, you're playing Madden, so you're out there an hour plus. There's a lot of time to say something maybe you shouldn't say, you know, as opposed to most athletes. At the longest your interview is going to be is like 10 minutes. So he had a couple of good quotes. First, he said, family's good. Everything else, it's a shit show.
Whoa.
Also said, He was playing as the Eagles, and he threw to himself at one point and said, this is the only positive I got, was him throwing to himself on Madden.
Oh.
And then he also, what you just quoted. He said, if you got me on fantasy, get rid of me. Now,
the savages in Philadelphia are not going to like that. Now I know why on my timeline from WIP, a poll popped up, which is, are you tired of A.J. Brown? And I just clicked on yes to see what the answers were. It was like 78% yes.
Oh, of course.
Holy
of course.
Shit.
So we've got a term for this called the sabotage drop. Are you familiar with the sabotage drop?
I am, and I'm bumping us out to some Wolfpack here because I want to keep this tight. So, yes, I've heard of the sabotage drop.
Right,
you've said it many a time on our visits. I still don't really believe in it because it's like you don't know if the guy who's going to be dropped might pick it up.
Well, yeah, that's because you're a coward. It's the concept behind the sabotage drop is – you drop a big name player who is frustrating you and you think will frustrate his next owner as well, fantasy owner. You drop that player and let him become somebody else's problem. Here's the only reason I'm saying don't sabotage drop A.J. Brown. His next three games, Lions, Cowboys, and Bears. They rank 27th, 30th, and dead last in wide receiver fantasy points allowed. So
really,
we can't drop him. Squeaky wheel, Zabe, the squeaky wheel usually gets the grease when you're as good as AJ Brown.
All right, we'll see about that. Charger now will be in Vegas with the Motley Crue on Sunday at Circa Sportsbook. We're going to try to do some content from there. Maybe we'll throw a live stream up. Who knows? But it's going to be a fun weekend, and I'm going to do scouting for Zabe Vegas 2026 March Madness time because I'm going to get that stood up once again now that I got some free time on my hands. And, yeah, it'll be good. For more fantasy football, the best damn fantasy football podcast anywhere is Paul Charchian's Fantasy Football Weekly, the OG. Get it where you get your podcast today. Charge, thanks for Wolfpack. I'm going to go listen, and I will talk to you on Sunday.
I can't wait. See you then.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.